friends, I believe it is time now that we begin our morning session. May I invite you, if you will, please, to turn to our first hymn. We've been having some fun singing and some wonderful fellowship together. Our first hymn this morning is number 58, He Leadeth Me. Now, if you will turn to it with me and let us stand and sing it together. Number 58, shall we stand? Number 58, the third stanza now. Lord, I would bless my hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, but it whatever since God the God had leadeth me. Seated, please. Number 258. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 253. 253. This is one of B.B. McKinney's immortal hymns, a hymn of faith, a hymn of trust. Have faith in God. Number 253.
In prayer this morning, we're asking Brother A. Douglas Aldridge, North Carolina.
Mr. President and fellow messengers and friends of our convention, our scripture this morning is found in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 18. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own affections. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. O God, our Father, in whose will is always our peace, and by whose grace we have obtained salvation, we thank thee for thy gift of thyself to us in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that Christian awareness that we are a part of the one family of God's worldwide family of believers. Grant unto us in this hour of world destiny and history that we may have the clear thinking of the Hebrew prophets of old, that we may know the passionate witness within our hearts of the apostles of the New Testament, that we may experience the courageous integrity of Protestant reformers, but that we shall always have the simple faith of a Christian saint. Embrace us in the warmth of thy love. Enlarge the capacities of our hearts until we can embrace all peoples in Christ as our brothers and our sisters. Challenge us and stir us with the dimensions of thy worldwide commission until every creature shall become a burden upon our compassion. Help us to translate our faith into deeds. Help us to translate our divisions into wholesome Christ-like unity. Help us, O God, to be utterly devoted to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Aldridge. And now Brother Thomas Holloway comes to tell us about the American Bible Society work.
President and friends and fellow messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention, first I would ask by common consent that we be allowed to print in the minutes, as you regularly grant permission, a brief report to be received as information. And then I would like to ask that we have now the reading of the customary resolution regarding the work of the American Bible Society to be presented by Dr. James L. Sullivan, the Executive Secretary of our Sunday School Board, who is a member of the Advisory Council of the American Bible Society. Dr. Sullivan.
Whereas this convention recognizes, first, that widespread distribution of the printed word of God is a basic need in mission work around the world, And second, that missionary advance calls for even greater distribution of Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels, and other individual books of the Bible. And whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society renders an essential worldwide missionary service through translating and publishing the scriptures without note or comment, and through distributing them without profit and usually below cost, therefore be it resolved that we fraternally urge that all our churches and our people make worthy contributions to the work of the American Bible Society in order to provide the scriptures needed for the missionary advance to which we are committed. This is, of course, submitted to the Resolutions Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. Is the speaker system working now? Can you hear in the back of the auditorium? Will somebody who is in charge of the speaker system?
They're working on it now.
All right. I'll speak up until they get it, and then we'll readjust. All right now. Thank you. Friends, this morning, I'm able to bring to you a thank you and a dividend on the missionary investments that Southern Baptists have made in your American Bible Society. It's the sort of a thing that they say, now the story can be told. In the press conference that our Russian visitors have had in this country, they have mentioned that they are now printing in Russia an edition of 50,000 complete Bibles printed from plates made from the mats which have been furnished by the American Bible Society. Now that's of interest, but there's also something else of special interest to Baptists. Because you will remember that back in 1941, there came the opportunity to send Bibles, or at that time we had very few Bibles and it was then Testaments, into the hands of Russians who were then prisoners of war in German prison camps. Dr. Louis Newton, he's Dr. Newton on the platform now. He will be when the Resolutions Committee comes. But Dr. Newton had a telephone call from Dr. Stifler of our headquarters office in New York just about Thanksgiving time in 1941, saying that there had come this opportunity to send into German prison camps through the service there for war prisoners Russian scriptures, and asking if Southern Baptists would be interested in helping to supply that need. And Dr. Newton sent out the appeal in letters to pastors of churches and through the state papers. And you responded. Responded so that we were able to print the edition which we thought would take care of that need. We used up all that we had already prepared and got the more and used them. But the generosity of Baptists was such that there was enough beyond that immediate need that we had a surplus. And we asked the leaders of the convention, what shall we do? This money's been given for Russian scriptures. The door's closed now. We've done all that we could do. We would like, if it is proper, begin setting type for a full Bible in Russian, because there were no plates then for a Russian Bible in this country that were anywhere near serviceable enough to print another large edition. And they said, by all means, use it for that. And so we did. We got ready for the next time that that door would be opened. And I hold here one of those Bibles printed from the plates that your gifts helped to provide. We got into Russia two shipments of them. The door opened for a little while and then closed again. It's been closed now, no more to be sent in, but they have accepted the offer of the plates, or rather the mats for making the plates, and and now 50,000 of them being printed by our Baptist friends in Russia. What Southern Baptists did in 1941 and 42 has had a large part in making it possible for those to be ready. Likewise, we have now a supply of tens of thousands ready to go into Russia if they can be sent of these full Bibles. But in the meantime, they're going into the hands of Russians on the outside of Russia. In Hong Kong, recently there came out of communist China 300 white Russians who had gone from Russia into China and then were finally allowed to come out. And there, for the first time, they received the scriptures in their own language to replace those that they may once have had, but which had been lost long since in their years of exile and wandering. Well, that's one of the things that we're able to say to you today. Thanks to your gifts that have been coming through the years, and thanks to Southern Baptists for realizing that the Bible Society is the right-hand man of mission work around the world. Wherever the Word of God goes, it must go in the language of the people. And wherever the gospel is proclaimed, there must be there the word that can be put into the hands of the person that will bring him to Christ and that will sustain him. We need the preaching of the word. The tool of the preacher is the printed word. The sustainer of the individual Christian is the printed word. The advance agent of missionary work is the printed word. For as our missionaries have told us, when we go to prepare for a new advance, we send out men there who will take the Gospels and go into a community, and there will distribute them, that hearts may begin to be opened, and they'll follow along with New Testaments for those whose attention has been caught, and then are willing to invest something of their own in a testament that they might read more of the Savior that's presented. But always it's provided way down under cost in other countries round over the world, because they don't have the cash income that will allow them to pay even what it costs for the printing and binding of the books. And so you make up the difference, and by your gifts you place it within the reach of the person who needs it. And where there is a need and no money to pay, your society, acting on your behalf, gives it without charge. And so today, as we come to give a report on this stewardship committed to us, if you're taking notes, you may want to put down a few figures of what has been done the past year. Just under 15 million volumes of the scriptures distributed. Approximately 9 million in our own country for home mission work and for sowing the seed in new communities. 6 million overseas. It's out of balance. There should be more than that going to the lands there where the Word of God is not as plentiful as in this country. And your increased gifts will help to put it in balance, that we may be sending at least as many to other parts of the world as are being used in this country of our own that is blessed with Bibles. Then you'll ask, how many languages now have the Word of God? 1,092. The languages which have a full Bible, 207. Those which have a complete New Testament, 265. And then 620 more that have at least a gospel or one full book of the Bible. And as we look to the lands to the south of us, we find there an open-heartedness and a hunger for God's word in Latin America that continues to amaze us. And yet, if we have faith, it does not amaze us, because we know that there's a hunger for the Word of God. One Carl Porter, distributor for the Bible Society, who has said, "I can remember four times when my life was in danger when I was trying to distribute God's Word. But now, in recent years, my life is almost in danger because I do not have enough copies to distribute, and the people crowd around so much that they almost mob the distributor to get the copies that he has available. In Latin America, people are learning to read. 10 million people over the world each year, adults, learning to read. And will they have the Word of God in their language as one of their first books that will make an impression on them and lead them to Christ? In some places, the distribution of God's Word is not even keeping pace with the number of new people learning to read each year. And in the words of James, brethren, these things ought not so to be. You and I as Baptists can with thankfulness look at our record of giving as it's come up and up and up. Till now, as Southern Baptists, we stand second in the list of all denominations in gifts to the American Bible Society. Methodists are first. And we say to ourselves, well, there are more of them. But take a look there in the leaflet that has been given to you by the ushers, and there is a table of the gifts from various denominations that shows not only how much was given, but how many members. And if you would figure out some per capita giving, you'd find some figures there that would give us cause to take stock of ourselves and take stock of our belief in the importance of the distribution of God's Word. For Southern Baptist gifts that stand at $115,631, if we take that on a per capita basis, we're giving only 1 4/10 cents per capita. And our American Baptist friends, with their $33,000 plus, are outstripping us with 2 2/10 cents per capita. And our Methodist friends are 1 5/10 cents per capita for their $139,000 plus. We're below the average even of all denominations, because the gifts of all denominations of 804,000 plus and nearly 50 million church members come out to be about 1 6/10 cents per capita. Brethren, we as Baptists who believe in the distribution of God's Word, we can do something that will set a pace for the other denominations. And as Southern Baptists have come up and up and up, now I would ask you then to keep on coming so that every church would make a gift to supply the Word of God, which is the tools of our missionaries, which they depend on, for they depend on the Bible Society for their scriptures. And I would ask you then that your church would be sure each year to send something to have a part in this essential work. Give for the sake of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And give for the sake of people around the world who are still waiting for the gospel, which in the words of the Apostle John was written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing they might have life through his name.
Thank you, Brother Holloway. It's not necessary for us to adopt this report, but it is necessary that we have authority for printing the report in the minutes. I'll entertain a motion that the report be printed in our minutes as is customary. Is there such a motion? Motion made. Does a second, if you favor, will you let it be known by saying aye? Any opposed will say no. It is so ordered. We proceed now with the report of the Committee on Committees. I recognize Dr. Vogt.
Read the the whole thing and they got up to it.
Mr. President, we have already made a partial report, which you have received, on the Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher, and you have found those names printed in the record. The committee now comes to present these committees, and there is a recommendation coming to you that the two committees we've had in the past of the Baptist Paper Circulation and the Baptist State Papers Committee be combined into one committee, and we're recommending for that committee Dr. H.H. McGinty, editor of the Word and Way in Missouri, is the chairman. And I will not read the list. All the editors of the state papers of our convention are on that committee, with the addition of Dr. Louis Newton of Atlanta, Georgia. Then the committee, there was a call for a special committee on Christian vocations. You remember the executive committee in their report, the first session, asked that a committee be set up to study the calling of young people and the implementing of the calling of young people into full-time Christian service, music work, educational work, all kinds of Christian service. And we recommend this committee: Alan W. Graves, chairman, Kentucky; W. L. House, Tennessee; G. Kearney Keegan, Tennessee; Elmer West, Virginia; Bill Cody, Virginia; Miss Margaret Bruce, Alabama; Raymond Rigdon, Tennessee; John Tubbs, Virginia; L. O. Griffith, Georgia; Ralph Phelps, Arkansas; Miss Rebecca Tune, Oklahoma; Miss Helen Gardner, Tennessee; Keener Farr, North Carolina; Herbert Balcom, Jr., North Carolina; Chester Swore, Mississippi; Edward Hurt, Jr., Tennessee; Howard Reese, District of Columbia. And the Committee on Denominational Calendar: Albert McClellan, chairman, Tennessee; James L. Sullivan, Tennessee; Baker James Coffin, Virginia; Miss Alma Hunt, Alabama; Merrill D. Moore, Tennessee; Courts Redford, Georgia; R. Alton Reed, Texas; George W. Schroeder, Tennessee; Frank Tripp, Louisiana; C.C. Warren, North Carolina; Orrin Cornett, Tennessee; Forrest C. Feaser, Texas; Charles W. Pope, Tennessee; W. Malcolm Fuller, Virginia; Sam D. Russell, Oklahoma; Paul Stevens, Texas; Frank A. Hooper, Georgia. And the Committee on Boards: Johnny Barnes, chairman, Mississippi; T.K. Rucker, Arkansas; Sam Maddox, Alabama; Joe Music, Arizona; W.B. Timberlake, California; Herman Illy, Georgia; John Phillips, Illinois; Clinton B. Coates, Kentucky; Truman Aldrich, Louisiana; W. Clyde Adkins, Maryland; T.W. Croxton, Missouri; J. Boyce Brooks, North Carolina; Murray Fuquay, Oklahoma; George Moore, South Carolina; Warren Russ, Tennessee; Joe Weldon Bailey, Texas; Charles L. Harmon, Virginia; Frank Brazington, Washington, D.C.; Cecil Carroll, Florida; A.A. Dulaney, New Mexico. Mr. President, I move the election of these for these committees.
You hear the motion? Is there a second? Is there any discussion? As many as favor the election of these, then, or receiving the report, adopting the report of this committee, will you indicate it by saying aye? Any opposed will say no. It is so ordered. Does this
completes our work unless they call for several committees? The motion to be adopted as a whole.
I now make a motion that this report as a whole be adopted, including the report we made earlier in the session yesterday.
Is there a second? Many as favor adoption of the report as a whole, will you indicate it by saying aye? Any opposed will say no. It is so ordered. We come now to the Committee on Resolutions.
Can I make an announcement?
Just one moment. We'll indulge the Secretary Ruth for announcement.
Mr. President, I would like to call Mr.
E. Gibson Davis, Mr. John Berry of South Carolina, and Ms. Truman Aldridge of Louisiana, if they could come to the side of the platform for just a moment, please.
Recognize now Dr. Lewin Newton, Chairman of the Committee on Resolutions.
Brother President and brethren of the convention. Brother President, may I read these resolutions and move their adoption one by one. The 99th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, 111th year, meeting in Kansas City, Missouri, May 30, June 2nd, 1956, expresses appreciation to the Baptists and other Christian friends of Kansas City and neighboring communities, to Mayor H. Roe Bartle and other civic leaders and organizations, to the Kansas City Star and the Kansas City Times, to the news agencies, to the radio and TV stations, to the hotels and motels and restaurants, and to the general public for the cordial welcome to this commanding city and the countless courtesies and excellent services which we have enjoyed during our pleasant and rewarding visit to Kansas City. Brother President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Is there a second? Many as favor the adoption of the resolution when indicated by saying aye. Any opposed will say no. So ordered.
Brother President, the second resolution. Whereas this convention recognizes, first, that widespread distribution of the printed word of God is a basic need in mission work around the world, and second, that missionary advance calls for even greater distribution of Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels, and other individual books of the Bible. And whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society renders an essential worldwide missionary service through translating and publishing the scriptures without note or comment, and through distributing them without profit and usually below cost, therefore be it resolved that we fraternally urge all our churches and our people to make worthy contributions to the work of the American Bible Society in order to provide the scriptures needed for the missionary advance to which we are committed. Brother President, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Second.
Motion made with the second. Is there discussion? Not as many as favor. Will let it be known by saying aye. Any opposed would say no. So ordered.
Brother President, the next resolution referred to your committee reads as follows. Inasmuch as the greatest source of primary historical resource materials that concern our churches is in their minutes and other records, and inasmuch as these valuable materials are subject to loss from a variety of reasons, such as fire, careless handling, etc., and inasmuch as in their present situation they are available to historians and others doing historical research only by traveling to the individual churches, and inasmuch as the Historical Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention is prepared to microfilm them at a very nominal cost and thereby to protect them perpetually from loss, make them more serviceable to the use of the churches, and to make prints available to libraries and research students. Therefore, be it resolved by the Southern Baptist Convention, in session now assembled, that the said convention requests the churches to have their minutes and other vital records microfilmed by the Historical Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Your committee recommends the adoption of this resolution. I so move.
Motion's made and second. Is there discussion? Not as many as favor. Will let it be known by saying aye. Any opposed will say no. So ordered.
Brother President, may I make a prefatory statement on behalf of our committee and then read resolution number 4, which we recommend. In the book of reports, you will observe that our Christian Life Commission has focused its emphasis and its recommendations in this year of 1956 on one aspect of the liquor menace. In full appreciation of that fine service and in deference, please, to the commission, your committee on resolutions would like to propose and recommend a very specific action by this convention at what we regard as a very, very vital phase of the increasing menace of drunkenness in our country. And Brother President, may I read recommendation number 4. We recommend that this convention authorize its president to file with the proper authorities of the United States government a petition to prohibit the sale and serving of alcoholic beverages on airplanes in flight within the territory of the United States. Brother President, I move the adoption of this, and if I get a second, there's just one sentence that I wish to offer by way of a word of explanation.
Motion's made and seconded.
Brother President, we are suggesting that this resolution be worded petition for the reason that we are there following the tradition of our fathers with reference to any approach to our government. And second, we are including both the words sale and serving because some of the airlines give liquor away as an inducement to business while others sell it. So we say sale or serving.
Is there further discussion? Not as many as favor its adoption will indicate it by saying aye. You oppose, you'll say no. So ordered.
Brother President, resolution number 5. Yesterday, Brother Bullman of North Carolina offered this resolution. Whereas the Supreme Court of North Carolina has dispossessed the majority of the members of a local Baptist church of their property following the decision of those members to discontinue affiliation with the Southern Baptist Convention. And whereas, quote, because of the North Carolina decision, no longer is there unanimity of opinion among the highest courts of this land as to the degree of congregational autonomy or polity possessed by the membership of a Baptist church, close quotation and documentation, Luther D. Burris, the Seminary Review, Volume 2, Number 2. And whereas in the trial of this church case, certain prominent persons connected with the Southern Baptist Convention gave testimony which contradicted the historic Baptist principle of the complete autonomy of the local church. And whereas following from the above stated considerations, confusion has arisen as to just what is the relation between a local church and the Southern Baptist Convention. Be it therefore resolved that we now reaffirm the following statement on Baptist congregational principle, which was issued by the 1928 Southern Baptist Convention, quote, all Baptist general bodies are voluntary organizations. Churches may cooperate with these general organizations, but always on a purely voluntary basis and without surrendering in any degree their right of self-determination. Close quotation, documentation, W.W. Barnes, the Southern Baptist Convention, A Study in the Development of Ecclesiology, the Southern Baptist Convention, 1845-1953. Be it further resolved that we now repudiate the following definition of the nature of a Baptist church, which was issued by the 1954 North Carolina Supreme Court decision, quote, in the event of a split within a local church, that part of congregation which remains true to faith, customs, usages, and practices accepted by both factions prior to dissension is entitled to control and management of church properties. Documentation, North Carolina, Supreme Reports, Volume 241, Number 111. Brother President and brethren, the report of your committee on resolutions on this resolution follows. Since this resolution raises the question of the relation of the Southern Baptist Convention to local churches and other Baptist bodies, and refers in part to a previous action of this convention on this vital principle, we recommend that this convention reaffirm the full statement referred to in the resolution, adopted in 1928 as recorded on pages 32 and 33 of the 1928 annual entitled Relation of Southern Baptist Convention to Other Baptist Bodies, as follows. A relation of Southern Baptist Convention to other Baptist bodies. According to instructions of the convention, we submit the following statement of principles. The relations between this convention and other Baptist bodies can be understood in the light of a few basic New Testament principles. The primary and fundamental principle is the direct relation of the individual soul to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. To his own master, every Christian stands or falls. All Christian relationships are free and voluntary. To become a Christian is not to be coerced into obedience to Christ, but to choose him voluntarily and freely. Christ's authority is accepted as final for the believer in all things when he is thus chosen freely as Savior and Lord. The relations of the believer with other Christians are also free and voluntary and subject only to the authority of Jesus Christ. A Church of Christ is a free and voluntary association of believers in his name, in obedience to his command, and for the carrying out of his purposes. It follows that each church is autonomous or self-determining in all matters pertaining to its own life and activities. It is not the subject to any other church. It is not subject to any other church or organization of any kind whatsoever, but only to Christ and his authority. All Baptist general bodies are voluntary organizations established by individuals who wish to cooperate for some common end or ends in the kingdom of God. This convention is not an ecclesiastical body composed of churches, nor a federal body composed of state conventions. Churches may seek to fulfill their obligations to extend Christ's kingdom by cooperating with these general organizations, but always on a purely voluntary basis and without surrendering in any way or degree their right of self-determination. These associations, unions, or conventions vary greatly in form, in size, in purpose, in territorial extent, and in conditions of membership. But they are all similar to churches in the fundamental principle of their organization and life, in that each is independent of all others in its own work, free, fraternal, autonomous, or self-determining in its own sphere and activities. This principle of cooperation between individuals and churches and general bodies in pursuit of great common ends is also a basic teaching of the gospel. In all cooperative endeavor, the principle of autonomy or self-determination should be carefully conserved. There is no relation of superiority and inferiority among Baptist general bodies. All are equal. All make their appeal directly to individuals and churches. Each determines its own objectives, financial or otherwise, and allocates its own funds to the interests promoted by it. Each defines and fixes its own sphere of activities. but all is done with the due consideration and regard for the functions of other Baptist bodies. The powers of Baptist general bodies are never legislative, but always advisory in their relations to churches and to each other. The cooperation of Baptist general bodies with each other may be desirable from time to time for the sake of greater economy and efficiency. But there are dangers connected with such cooperation due to misunderstanding, confusion of thinking, and sometimes to trespassing upon the rights of cooperating bodies by one or other of the parties to the arrangement. One of the present danger points is the cooperative relations between the Southern Baptist Convention and the various state conventions. This convention disclaims all authority over any state convention, but wishes to define its own functions and activities in relation to state bodies. The following points should be stressed. One, the cooperative relations between this convention and state bodies is now established or limited to the one matter of collecting funds for Southwide and state objects in conjunction with a unified appeal for the objects. The state convention boards are at present.
Pardon me, Brother Newton, but our time is up for this. Properly speaking, if you wish to continue, shall we have a motion to extend the time and how much?
I make a motion to extend the time. As long as it's necessary, Brother President.
We had two or three motions coming from two or three ways, and nobody was recognized. I'll now entertain a motion to extend the time.
Brother President, I move we extend the time 10 minutes.
Motion's made we extend the time 10 minutes. Is there a discussion? Not as many as favor it will indicate it by saying aye. Any opposed would say no. Time is extended 10 minutes.
The state convention boards are at present recognized by this convention as collecting agencies for Southwide as well as for state funds. This arrangement, however, is not an essential in Baptist organization, but is made simply as a matter of convenience and economy and may be changed at any time. The fact that the state bodies first handle the funds and are more directly related to the churches in the matter of collection does not alter the basic relations involved. For the practical ends in view, this convention cooperates in the unified appeal for funds through state agencies, but in principle, it retains an inalienable and inherent right to direct appeal to the churches. Furthermore, in all matters other than money raising, it retains complete control of its own affairs with the right to fix its own objectives and to determine the amounts of money allocated to its various objects. The power of appointing the members of all committees and boards of this convention resides in the convention itself. When it is desirable that states as such or other territorial subdivisions of this convention's area be represented on the boards or committees of this convention, this arrangement can easily be effected by consultation with the respective groups involved. But the power to appoint directly or to nominate the members of its own committees and boards must be retained. The practice of careful discrimination and mutual respect is between the state bodies and this convention is called for. The main function of this convention and of state bodies remain inviolable. Neither body may impose its will upon the other in any manner or degree at any time. Conference and discussion between committees of the respective groups are always proper in regard to matters involved in joint effort and in so far as necessary to promote goodwill and mutual understanding. As the work is at present conducted, such matters are the division of funds into state and Southwide, ways and means of promoting interest in the various causes, and the burden of cost of collecting to be apportioned to state and Southwide funds. These are all matters involved in the one matter of joint effort, namely the collection of money. In all other matters, this convention pursues its own objects in its own way. It has no authority to allocate funds or to divert funds from any other object included in a state budget. In like manner, no state body has any authority to allocate funds to or divert them from any object included in the Southwide budget. The observance of the above principles by this convention and by state bodies is essential to the integrity and perpetuity of this convention. Unless the Southern Baptist Convention insists upon its own autonomy in all phases of its own work, a process of disintegration, loss of power and initiative and gradual decline is inevitable. It is important that the executive committee of this convention receive instructions to conduct all negotiations with representatives of state or other bodies necessary to clarify relations and bring about a satisfactory adjustment with a view to complete and hearty cooperation in all matters of common interest. Now, Brother President, your committee, in making its report on the resolution number 5, known as the Bullman Resolution, offers this as its report and recommends it for your action on this basis, that your committee does not interpret its responsibility or the responsibility of this convention to pass judgment upon the decision of any civil court in North Carolina or in any other community, nor to pass judgment upon any action of the North Carolina Convention or any other Baptist body. I move the adoption of the report as I point.
Motion is made that the report be adopted. Is there a second?
Brother President.
Motion is made and second that the report be adopted.
Brother President.
Brother Bullman is recognized.
Thank you, sir. I wish to offer an amendment to the report on autonomy just given in expressing my profound appreciation to the Committee on Resolutions for its a strong statement on the autonomy of the local church, but only wishing to make that 1928 statement impinge on the current critical situation, I offer the following amendment. That in addition to the resolution just set forth, there be added the following. Be it further resolved that we now repudiate the following definition of the nature of a Baptist church, which was issued by the 1954 North Carolina Supreme Court decision, which reads, in the event of a split within a local church, that part of congregation which remains true to faith, customs, usages, and practices accepted by both factions prior to dissension is entitled to control and management of church property. I so move.
Is there a second to the motion?
Brother Moderator, I second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there a discussion?
Chairman, I'd like to add one comment. I'm Burnett Magruder of Louisville, Kentucky.
What's the name?
What's the name?
Burnett Magruder, Louisville, Kentucky.
Magruder, Louisville, Kentucky. Excuse me, they turned up right at the wrong time, but we were not hearing you back there. I think they can now. The men operating will see that the voice is carried to all people. Thank you. You may continue.
I'm sure that our only interest in this case is to act as Baptist people in the light of our own history. We have steadfastly spoken in strong terms against ecclesiastical collectivism and against political totalitarianism. In respect to communism, in respect to Catholicism, and perhaps in many Protestant bodies throughout history. We do not know what a principle means except in application cases. A case has arisen which has brought confusion, and to speak softly in the light of our own history when we have spoken strongly in the light of other Christian bodies can invalidate our right.